here in just a moment. If you have a question, you want to text it to me, text it to 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. And we'll be starting the broadcast here in about 10 seconds. And we are live. Welcome, everyone, tonight to a Tuesday night celebration of life, one of our favorite opportunities to gather with clients and talk about those things that matter most. This is one of my favorite sessions of all the ones that we'll have because it's really where the rubber meets the road. Tonight we're going to be talking about physical creation, actually doing the work of creation, not just thinking about it, but actually focusing and doing the work. We have an opportunity on these Tuesday night calls to go through the six qualities of an intentional creator, these foundational principles, the first being connection with people, showing up, looking through the eyes of another person, empathy, empathy, standing on their path, seeing through their eyes. It's a glorious way to take a look at the world. It adds such depth to our perception of what's really going on. We get the opportunity to listen, to take down walls of resistance, to see the flood of cooperation and productivity come out when we've created a safe place and someone no longer needs their walls of hate and suspicion, as Og calls them. We build that bridge and our love enters their soul, that agape love, that heightened level of awareness. Key piece. Og called this the greatest secret of success in all ventures. May we this week practice with even more intention, being fully present than now. I'm going to give you some exercises to help us do this, but fully present than now. Let us focus on connecting with every person with whom we come in contact. Let us have a great experience with people this week. So that's one. Quality number two is mental creation. We go to this particular quality. If you look at your assessment online, it's in the bottom right-hand side. These are systemic thoughts, right, wrong, win, lose, life, death. Vivid visualization falls into this category. What do we do with these thoughts? I had a fascinating conversation this week with Dr. Jeff Spencer. Jeff was the physician and coach for the U.S. team that won 8 Tour de France. Tour de France. He called that 24-day, 2,300-mile trip a death march. I was writing about this today on our blog. A death march. And he helped people pull through this process. And it's just miraculous to see what he was able to create down in the trenches, down in the mud and the blood and the sweat and the tears with these incredible athletes. He calls it the champion blueprint. He talks about the fact that our natural default, I like the way he uses that. Og talks about it as we surrender our free will to these years of accumulated habits when they're out of balance and they're harmful. And the past deeds of my life have already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future. He just makes it very simple. He says, that's just a default. If we are not consciously choosing where our mind goes, it's going to go to a default because it's not going to be quiet. It is not naturally quiet. It is chewing on a bone somewhere. The question is, what bone is it chewing on? And so we want to become highly conscious of where it is and redirect it into a conscious and constructive place. A place that will manifest inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges that will ignite our passion so that we can bring that passion into the here and now, which we're going to talk about today, and be in passion-driven action. So we're not in this space. If we're over in fantasy trying to escape because we want a life that's more comfortable or one that's more easy or more time freedom, financial freedom with less stress and debt and pain, or we're over in the dark dungeon of despair and discouragement, filling our body with cortisol and exacerbating diabetes and creating hypertension and wearing out our immune system. If we're in these kinds of places, we're in for a real challenge. So let us become conscious. Let us not let our mind go into default. Let us not be held hostage to that default button. Let us consciously start to choose. It's been my experience, happily, and Dr. Spencer and I agree with this. We agree that when we do this over and over and over again, and we start to have a new experience, we get an inspired idea, we act on it, we create something we didn't have, and we do that for a number of times, we will start to instinctually, almost subconsciously start to think constructively. It's so fun to realize that I'm in the middle of a mental rehearsal. It will be for you as well. I was with a client this morning at 8 o'clock. We've been coaching now for 24 weeks. It's amazing, isn't it? Just turned to my sweetheart. 24 weeks with this incredible CEO, just an amazing human being. And we were brainstorming something for his sales team. And I watched him go into a spontaneous mental rehearsal. And I had to stop him. I said, can you feel yourself in mental rehearsal? He said, yeah. He was actually having one. It was so fun to see him in that space, because that is not a space he was familiar with when we started the coaching. It wasn't his default mechanism. His default mechanism was much more negative. And it's so beautiful to see him go into a very positive space instinctually. So the hope is, there is hope, not the hope is, there is hope that in time we'll be able to make this shift. The challenge is that at first it will not be as, so I say, as fun. How can going in the dark dungeon of despair and discouragement be fun? It's almost masochistic. It's almost like I enjoy taking a whip and beating myself up, you know? I'm torturing myself. It feels good to torture myself, and sometimes we do, so that when life shows up better than the worst-case scenario, we get to have a moment of relief. That's a tendency in my own family. That's been generational. We stopped it here. We're not going to do that anymore. I don't know, it might be in your life or your family's life the same way, and you get to make the choice to stop it here so it doesn't go down the next generation. We don't want to be going from the worst-case scenario and having a sense of relief when it's not as bad. That can be a natural reaction. That's a natural default. Going into fantasy, escaping to a time when we're rich and playing out all those visualizations. Let's get serious about this. Because we won't have the norepinephrine, that euphoric drug coursing through our body immediately that we get when we're escaping into fantasy. But we won't have that horrific emotional low that comes with the cortisol when life shows up differently. So we want to look at what we're not going to be experiencing as much as what we're missing. Then we don't get the norepinephrine. In place of the norepinephrine, when we go into the constructive thought process, the beautiful thing is that when the inspired idea comes, and it comes because we want to bless the lives of people. What can I create? How can I create this? How will this serve? I want to engage in life, embrace principles, connect and serve people, create value everywhere I go and with everyone I meet. I want to contribute to the world. That's our new burning desire. We get one of those little ideas, it lights up part of our brain we normally don't use. Now that's exciting, and sometimes those whispers, and Dr. Spencer and I talked about this yesterday, talked about living in the whispers. I love that. Living in the whispers. When those little inspired ideas are coming, if we're in this constructive thought, consciously choosing to be here, if we can live in the whispers, we will create unbelievable things in our life. We ignore these whispers, or we stay in discouragement or in fantasy. You can't get those whispers when you're in those places. The place they come from only occurs when we're in alignment with intentional creation. That requires a desire to engage and embrace principles, connect and serve, and create value and contribute to the world. Focused on what can I create, how can I create, how can I serve. I've said those things 100 times, and maybe you've heard them 101. It's just the truth. When we're in that space, that's when we get the whispers, and then we're going to want to follow those whispers because those become delicious. Those whispers become delicious. We start to hear them. Some of them are subtle. We act on them. And something gets created we would have never had if we just spend a moment over there in discouragement or fantasy. We do that repeatedly, an it's going to cause us to want to be here in mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, planning, goal setting, problem solving. We're going to want to be here because we're going to be hungry for those whispers, that little next moment. Now, as we open up this section, I hope you have a copy of my new book. If you don't, please spend $20 and get it. And when you buy it, send Nikki, N-I-K-I, at augmandino.com. Send her an email that you just bought it. She'll pull your email aside in the book that I've signed for you, and I can personalize for you. Write you a little note. Tell me what's going on in your life. When you get this book, this section on physical creation has some things that are not in the coaching material. It's a conversation I had with my father about passion-driven work and using his life as an example. And also, the week that I rewrote the book being in passion-driven action so we can feel what it's like. Dr. Spencer said, it is so fascinating that when we are others-focused, when we're focused on someone else, the body, and this is his speciality. I mean, it's not a mistake that the U.S. team won the Tour de France 8 times. It's just, they had great athletes, but they also had him giving this guidance. He said that when we are others-focused, there are reserves that we can draw on in our body that can cause us to get very little sleep for prolonged periods of time without feeling tired. There are resources, reserves, when we're others-focused. That's a powerful thing to know. And that week that I did the rewrite on the book, I was others-focused. I could feel someone reading this book, 70-less pages, didn't know which ones were going to come out, but I could feel so powerfully that visualization that ignited my passion to write 5 nights. Ramona's right here as my witness. Maybe an hour and a half of sleep. Maybe one night, too. But coaching all day long, and she knows I start coaching at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, and we go till tonight. I got a radio interview after we finish here tonight, so it'll be 10 o'clock we get done. That's okay. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But then to write through the night and then do that again, write through the night, do that again, write through the night, do that again, you've got to find a reserve. And that reserve is there when we're others-focused and passion-driven. That's a great way to live. Now, I'm not suggesting we go without sleep every night, but I am suggesting that life can be a whole lot more exciting than we might be currently living it. And if we are connected and we're living in the whispers, then we're igniting passion that will drive our discipline, focus, effort, and action. Because we're going to come where the rubber meets the road. Now, the truth of the matter is, at first, we may not hear those whispers. They may not be sufficient to ignite our passion. That's possible. So Og gives us another clue buried so subtly in Scroll 9. It's only there for those who really want to know it, who really want to live this scroll. I will act now. He says, my dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. This is an amazing statement. And he goes on, only action determines my value in the marketplace, and to increase my value, I must increase my actions. I will talk when the failure remains silent. I'll walk when the failure, get that right. I will walk where the failure fears to walk. I'll work when the failure seeks rest. I'll talk when the failure remains silent. I'll call on 10 who can buy my goods while the failure makes grand plans to call on one. I'll say it is done before the failure says that it's too late. This is an extremely powerful scroll. And it's, just so everybody knows, because this is one of the scrolls we're going to be studying this week, and we've talked about this if you've been coaching with me, but this scroll has a magical element to it. I want to tell you what it is. If you'll actually read it, and the assignment will be to read this midday. You'll read a different scroll morning and night, but this one midday, when you choose to read this one midday, and you do it every single day, about 3 to 4 days into the reading, should you actually choose to do this, you'll all of a sudden face a task, and you're thinking, oh, I'm just too tired to do that. I'm going to lay down and take a nap if you're at home. Or I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll shuffle some papers and wait for the clock to run out if I'm at work. Or I'll do a couple of little things and put this big one off because I don't really feel like doing it. You'll hear the words echo in your heart. They'll be at a very deep, fibrous level of your being. Act now. You'll hear the words. You'll actually hear them. Act now. And you'll be angry with yourself if you actually don't work, if you don't take the action. What's interesting to note, as we start to go through this scroll, part of this scroll is helping us meet our true self, our true self. And many of us really don't know our true self. I can tell you a couple times when we've met our true self. One is when we procrastinate. We put something off. And we got this noise in our head, and this thing we need to do is screaming at us, but it's not screaming louder than the noise in our head, so we just keep putting off. And eventually we get to the deadline, and we have no choice. We have to jump in, and we have to do it. It's got to be done. So we shut the noise off in our head, and we, the real us, the real you, jumps in to do it. And almost always we say, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? Wow. We're even surprised. We're surprised at the genius that shows up. Matter of fact, we even often wonder if people knew how little effort we put into it, that they might discount our value or the grade if we were in school. Truth is, our genius showed up. Tremendous capacity whenever we're totally focused on something. This is a great thing to know. So, we rarely get to meet ourselves. Here's one way we can. This is so subtle. Henceforth, I will remember. Now, remember, just before this, it would be helpful, I think, to set this up. He says that my procrastination, which has held me back, is born of fear. So I've learned this lesson. Mind from the depths of all courageous hearts. Now I know that to conquer fear, I must act without hesitation, and the flutters in my heart will vanish. Now I know that action reduces the lion of terror, that fear we have, to an ant of equanimity, to peace of mind. Now he's telling us that when this happens, that the fear goes away. And the reason why the fear goes away is because we finally meet ourselves. Wow. Wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, what was I so afraid of? Wow. Challenge is, we want to stay in the wow. We don't want to go back to the doubt and the fear and the shame and the noise in our head. That's why we want to start shifting these thought processes so that we can actually start showing up, being our true self more often. And he helps us with the next sentence. I will act now. And he says, henceforth, basically so that I can do this, I'm going to remember the lesson of the firefly. The firefly. Just think about that firefly buzzing around, who gives off its light only when it is on the wing, only when it is in action. Now think about the visual, a firefly that lights up when it's in action, and light. August used so much symbolism, so much metaphor, so much poetry in his process. Light. We light up. We receive inspiration. Isn't that beautiful? Only when we're on the wing, only when we're in action. He's telling us that we'll get an idea to get started, and if we don't even have the idea, get into action. Get into action, and you'll begin to see. You'll get inspiration. That's why I wrote the chapter in the book about passion-driven action, because I saw the 70 pages that need to be removed, but I had no idea which ones. And I went through an amazing process with a little whisper, a little whisper, a little whisper, a little whisper for 5 nights in a row. And Friday afternoon around 1 o'clock, I'm looking back and I can see the whole thing. Oh my goodness, I just got led through exactly where and how it needed to be changed. Changed the format of the book, removed 70 pages, added 3 new chapters, and still netted 70 pages, almost 80 pages that came out of the book. It was miraculous. I could see it in retrospect. I got to see it because I chose to be the firefly. The light came on for the next step only by being in action. He said, I will become the firefly, and even in the day, my glow will be seen in spite of the sun. How inspirational will be for others. Will be so bright that we'll set ourselves aside from the sun. That's quite a promise. Then he says, let others be as butterflies, who preen their wings, sit there and lick their wings and play with their wings, yet depend on the charity of a flower for life. I will be as the firefly, and my light will brighten the world. Then he goes on, I'm going to take it one more paragraph. Because we say, well, what happens? I go into action, I get inspiration, it doesn't work out. Well, he addresses that. This is just so beautifully staged. I'll avoid the task. I will not avoid the tasks of today and charge them tomorrow, for I know that tomorrow never comes, which is true. It's always right now. 24 hours from now, it's going to be 5:20 on May 23rd. It'll be now. 24 hours after that, it'll be May 24th and 25th. It'll still be now. This idea of tomorrow is just in our mind. It is always now. Always now. We mentally may try to go into the future and put tomorrow's goal while standing in today's path and get into fantasy. We may try to do tomorrow's work while standing in today's path and get overwhelmed by what still needs to be done. We may torment ourselves over things that may never come to pass, or we can stay present, living in the now. He says, let me act now, even though my actions may not bring happiness or success. For it is better to act and fail than not to act and flounder. Action doesn't always promise a result, but inaction always promises a result. It's always a result. He says, happiness in truth may not be the fruit plucked by my action. Yet, without action, all fruit will die on the vine. It's a powerful thing for us to know. So we have this inspiration. We want to manage our mental creation so that we get inspired ideas and impressions. But if we don't have clarity, let us go into action, because it's while we're in action that the light of inspiration can shine even brighter than the sun. So action is such a key piece, and it's so interesting that in our world today, work seems to have a really bad rap. I mean, like, if you can't just relax and travel the world and smoke marijuana on the beach in the Caribbean, something's wrong with you. You know, deadly books like the 4-Hour Workweek. Like, I want to minimize that which will bring me wholeness. You see, when we are in action, we are getting to meet our true self. That's why in the last chapter we talked about falling back in love with what you're doing for a living, not because of what they're paying you or what they're expecting, so that you can maximize your own gifts and feel the sense of accomplishment and worth that comes from being connected. It is so healthy. Ramona spent the day in her flower gardens. She's got this beautiful smile on her face. That's where we spent Saturday. That was fun. Having a sense of accomplishment when it got done got us so grounded in so many other areas of our life and things that we want to consider by just getting into that kind of action. There's just a bad rap for work. Like, work is for the peasant. Work is for the poor. No. Work is for the person who wants to embrace their gifts and talents and use them in the service of others. Is it true that we want to shift, and I'm going to have you draw this on a piece of paper, draw a horizontal line, left-hand side, make a little notch, and write financial prison. I don't think we've ever done this on this call. In the middle, write financial freedom. On the right-hand side, write financial independence. This is the truth about work. I want to share it with you tonight. Just have you just be with this and see what you think. Left-hand side's financial prison. This is when we're working to pay the monthly nut. All of our time is eaten up just trying to cover our bills. It takes all of our effort. That's a financial prison. Our challenge is that we get $5 ahead and we go borrow enough money and the payment's $5. So we just keep eating up our increase with leveraged debt so that we can somehow live prematurely that which we'd like to have in financial freedom and financial independence. We actually want to get there, which means we've got to get our debts paid off, create sufficient income that we can have more than it requires for our basic needs, so that we can start investing and creating a reserve sufficient so that we can pay our bills out of our reserve. That's financial freedom. That's the middle section. Our monthly bills are paid out of a reserve. We're working. We replenish the reserve. And we build beyond the reserve. That's financial freedom. When we're in financial freedom, we're experiencing something called enthusiasm, which means we're releasing the God within us, because we're not burdened by scarcity and urgency and fear, which are all part of the financial prison. We want to very carefully, Dave Ramsey talks about this, breaking out of this financial prison. And there's a real reason for it, because then the work we get to do is to build wealth, and we're more and more available to serve others because we have a little extra time. Eventually, the plan would be that we have enough in an asset base that it can generate sufficient income, that the income pays our expenses, and now the work we're doing can become increasingly charitable. We don't do this so that we can just play our life away. We do it so that we can live a life of significance, creating something magnificent on this planet. When someone is financially independent, they are totally free to perform at a high level and in the service of other people. It's magnificent. I've had the privilege of being in all three of those places. I think my favorite is financial freedom. Still kind of on your toes, it's keeping you humble, but you're paying your bills out of reserves, you're building wealth. It's a great place to live. So when we look at work, work is not a negative. We just shift from the scarcity model of trying to pay our bills to using all of that effort to serve other people. That's the spectrum between prison, freedom, and independence. Totally free to serve without any restrictions. What a great place to be. That's where we're going to want to be. Now, if work is a noble thing, and we get into this discussion around the ease disease, where we just want more time freedom and financial freedom, and we want life to be easier and more comfortable. This is a disease. Jeff and I were talking about this yesterday. I just wrote in the blog. It got posted this evening. Today I begin a new life. blogspot.com, I think it's called. Go there and you can read the blog. This disease that is just, I talked about this dark shadow that is casting over the world and over the self-improvement world. It's just swallowing up people's hopes and dreams, because they do the self-improvement to find a magic pill, an easy way to finally get there. And it's just not the way it works. It just doesn't work that way. Some people are still hanging on to it. They'll get in an argument with me. I don't want to argue with anybody about it. I just know that if you dive into the work of creation, you can actually create your dreams in tangible reality. And if you're waiting for the universe to just manifest them, you'll wait for an eternity. And with it, become increasingly broke, broken, and angry. And living a life of frustration, bitterness, tear families apart. It's awful what it does. So we want to get involved in the work of creation. Now, here's the challenge. The challenge is that most of us, myself included, spend a lot of time in our heads. We're just not present. Our body is. It's always present. I mean, even when we're unconscious in a hospital, in a coma, our body's present. It doesn't leave us. But our mind is seldom here. For us to be an intentional creator, for us to be that firefly, force to be the one in action, force to be the one creating our dreams in tangible reality, realizing our dreams, actually experiencing them, living in them. Force that to happen. Our mind and our body must be in the same place. That's where physical creation occurs, mind and body wedded together. This is a great thing to know. It's a difficult thing to do. I'm going to give you a process tonight. You remember this from the coaching sessions, those of you who were in coaching. And the real honesty check is, did I do it? Am I still doing it? Am I still living power sessions? Because power sessions isn't an idea for this week. I'm introducing to you a way of life. A way of life. And we're going to begin that journey. If you didn't do it during coaching and stick with it, we're going to start it tonight. Let's start it now. Because success or failure will be dependent on our willingness to do this, to really live this principle. This is an opportunity for us to be totally present in the now. A power session simply means my mind and my body are in the same place. That's it. Totally present. Now, I'm going to give you a plan, then I'm going to back off the plan a little bit, because the plan I'm about to give to you, I've given to 3,500 plus coaching clients. Seven of them could do it for the first week. Seven. I'm excitedly waiting for number eight. It's a possibility with all the people that we're coaching right now and a number of them on this program. We might get one this week. Wouldn't that be a treat to have number eight show up? But this isn't about that. It's about finding out where you are on the spectrum of how much time you can spend present in the now, disciplined, focused in the now. This is the plan. You ready? So write this down. When you wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to encourage you to read scroll number 5. I'll live this day as if it is my last. And what that means, when you hear the opening lines, you know precisely what Og's saying. I will seal up its container of life so that not one drop is spilled upon the sand. I'll spend not one moment mourning yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart. For why should I throw good after bad? In other words, this is the last time tomorrow. You're going to get May 23rd. That's the day you get, May 23rd. At midnight tomorrow night, May 23rd is gone. 2012, gone forever. It will never be back. It will die at midnight. We'll have memories from it. What will we have created? What will we have done with this day? Will we have talked ourselves into putting stuff off till Saturday? Did we procrastinate? Did we avoid? Did we fantasize? Did we catastrophize? What did we do? So we read scroll number 5 to get grounded, so that we'll be inspired to stay present here in the now. So that's one. So now we've fed our heart and our soul. Number 2, take a look at what you've got scheduled in the day. This is when you want to live in the whispers. What are the 3 most important things on this list? Or is there something that should be on that list that isn't? Something that should be on that list that isn't. Listen to the whisper. Be in this space. It's a very sacred space to go to the power of the universe I call God. It's the last time I get this day. If I do nothing else, what are the times where I need to really show up present in the now? When are those? Listen to the whispers. It may not be the times you think they are, that you'd normally select, but circle them. That one, and that one. Okay. I'm going to make absolutely sure that no matter where my mind is today in relationship to my body, those 3 times, they're going to be together in the same place, mind and body in the same place. And let's say I've got one at 10 o'clock, just for an example. Whenever your first one is, it doesn't matter, but say it's 10 o'clock. I start mentally rehearsing what's going to happen in that event. How am I going to show up? Could I be more joyful? Could I be more positive? Could I be a better listener? Could I look for good in other people's ideas? Could I be more conciliatory? Could I be kinder, gentler, more awake, more aware, more forceful? Whatever it might be, mentally rehearsing how I would want to show up in that meeting so that when I get there, I'm in that space. And now, at 10 o'clock, I show up fully present, mind and body, say for an hour to an hour and a half. That's a power session. What you're going to want to pay attention to is what happens that would not have happened had you not been that focused. Without that contribution of mind and body in the same place, what might you have missed? What might have others missed? Be conscious of that. Now, midday, we're going to read scroll 9. I'm going to just highly recommend you feed your soul with this scroll. This scroll will feed your soul. It will feed it. There are so many powerful statements. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will act now. I will command and I will obey my own command. These are powerful statements to just feed our soul to drive us into the afternoon. And now we're going to mentally rehearse the next power session. When the time comes, mind and body together. Gosh, what miracles did we create then? Third power session. Mind and body in the same place. Wow, what do we create? Before you go to bed, just pull out your journal and just put a sentence or two. Who you met? What opened up? What options came available? What happened as a result of you being fully present in the now? Just be conscious of it. Write it down. This journal will become priceless. Priceless. 6 months from now, you'll look back at your power session journal where you start to see what changes have occurred in your life because of you showing up simply three times a day. Now, not all days are going to work out the way we had hoped, so we're going to read scroll 7 at the end of the day. I will laugh at the world. Keep things in proper perspective. This too shall pass. Man is most comical when he can't laugh at himself. Have I grown too long for my cot? That's a great line. Have some fun with this scroll. Og says our digestion will improve if we can laugh. Yeah, it'll help us health-wise. It'll keep our troubles in proper perspective. Frankly, it'll help us sleep better. Let's sleep like a baby. Get up the next morning. Let's feed our soul with scroll 5. Take our list. Live in the whispers. What are the three most important? Get some inspiration. Circle them. Follow the same procedure. Mental rehearse. Execute. Read scroll 9 at noon. Mental rehearse. Execute. Execute meaning mind and body same place. Third power session. Journal. What happened? What are the miracles? You won't be too many days into this, and you'll start to see some miracles happening. Insights are coming. Opportunities are opening up. Wow! It only requires me to be present, mind and body, three times a day to have my world start shifting, and the answer is absolutely yes. Scroll 7, sleep like a baby. Now, I mentioned to you, I've only had 7 people who are able to follow that pattern for 7 days in a row following the coaching session. Don't beat yourself up if you can't do it. The truth is, it's really hard to do. If you're on the phone, you're going, can I do 4? I'm going to go do 3 first. Just do 3 faithfully, faithfully, faithfully. If it's not a problem, you move to 4. I just haven't met anybody who could. So, if you can't do 3, don't feel like a failure. Just do 1. Just do 1. It's not less of a miracle. You just don't have as many miracles. It's no less of a miracle when your mind and body is totally present in that one session. Do 1. Feed your soul with the scrolls. That'll help. But just do 1 power session. And when you're comfortable doing that, you want to stretch a bit, then do 2. When you're comfortable beyond that, then do 3. It's not a contest. Because the thing about contests are these. If we haven't really been present in the now, and most of us are not. I mean, we have proven this with 3,500 of my own personal coaching clients. We're just not present in the now. We've met the enemy, and this is part of it. This mind that just wants to be somewhere else. And now we're choosing to be fully present. Don't get into a contest because you don't want to get in a situation where you kill yourself to do 3 of them a day for a week. And then you never want to do another power session in your lifetime. Simone is chuckling because she knows that's how I start exercise programs. You know, I'm going to be a weightlifting champion in the Olympics, or I'm going to run a marathon by next week. And after the first day, I can't get up for 2 days. We want to pace ourselves. We want to pace ourselves. Get more and more accustomed to living present in the now. This is a great thing to do, and you're going to hear. This is the champion's blueprint. This is what Jeff Spencer's been talking about, Dr. Spencer, when he said, we have this default, this human blueprint. We just, and if we're not consciously pulling ourselves out of it, it will run our life. We will surrender our free will to it, and the deeds of our life will mark out a path which does threaten to imprison our future. It's guaranteed. This is what a champion does. A champion pulls himself out of that and makes a different choice. So do one a day. Be a champion. Then do two, and then do three. Have a routine that you can sustain over a period of time, and pretty soon, several years, you'll just be living here. And the time that you spend in your mind or away is the smaller portion. Incredible miracles. So there's power sessions. Now, we have the opportunity to play power sessions to big uglies, you know, things we've been putting off. If you're really good at this, you've been doing it since you were coached, and this is a really big part of your life, you know, just pick something really ugly, something you've been putting off and just been avoiding, like the west flower beds at the house, and just decide to do it. And do it in power sessions. You know, decide to do an hour a day over a five-day period. Block it out. Schedule it ahead of time. And you'll know that when you do that piece, you get to celebrate the success of having completed that piece. If you're weeding a big flower bed, you got this 12 by 12 section. When that's done, celebrate the 12 by 12. You got a sense of accomplishment. You kept your commitment to yourself. The rest of the 12 by 12 sections, they're not scheduled till tomorrow. So tomorrow, do the next one. The next day, the next day. This is a great way to take on a big ugly. As Og says, any small task repeated will accomplish any deed, any undertaking. It's a great thing for us to know. Scroll number three, I'll persist until I succeed. So let us use a power session to take on a big ugly. Let's break it into bite-sized pieces. Take on one piece at a time. Feel that sense of accomplishment instead of that delayed guilt, shame, you know, scheduling far enough in advance that we can justify it because it's close enough, but we feel safe enough because it's far enough away. You know, that kind of a scheduling process. Let's get away from that. Let's just break it into bite-sized pieces, and let's just get off our life. Get rid of it. So beautiful to walk out there today. We had one section left on Saturday we didn't get to. Ramona finished it yesterday and today and went out tonight before we started this session, and it's beautiful. Just magnificent. That big ugly has been haunting us for how long, sweetheart? Almost since we moved here. It was a really tough multi-terraced area in the yard. Very complex. And really overgrown with weeds. We wanted to pretend like the weeds were flowers or something, or ground cover, or whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is that it's cleaned up now. That's done. That's pretty cool. I know Ramona's going to sleep really well tonight. Tremendous sense of satisfaction. That big ugly, you know, till tomorrow when another weed pops up, but now it's one weed at a time, right? Is now she can maintain it. It's easier to maintain now that it's under control. So take on a big ugly if you're already doing with people. Otherwise, I would highly recommend you do the power sessions with people. And I'll mention one thing about this. I've been working with some groups in the network marketing arena. Wonderful profession. Helping them take on their habits of thinking. One thing that we've discovered is that very few people are really working their business. They're just not connecting with people. It's like, I want to get this done so that I can have financial freedom, so that I don't have to work, so that it's all this to get there. Instead of enjoying this journey, and they're connecting with people. It's like, I have to connect with the people because I need to sell the products to get to the place where I can buy the tropical island so I can tell all of them to go to heck because I'm sick and tired of annoying people. You know, it's that kind of an energy. And what a great way to spend a power session. I'm going to mentally rehearse, put bone and skin on this stack of leads, I'm going to call, and I'm going to really bring my mind and my body present, bring my genius to the moment, and show up for these people. See if one of them in that stack is somebody I could serve. Power sessions are really great for connection with people because they bring us really present. They shut off the noise in our head. Otherwise, we're wondering about how are they thinking about us, or how am I showing up, or what do they think about my pants or my dress or my haircut, or you know, whatever it might be. For me, a few extra pounds, you know, I think I'd eat too many donuts, or I'm terribly undisciplined, or, you know, what are those discussions we can have about ourselves? We shut all that off by bringing mind and body present. We're totally present and in the focus of serving another person. We find an extra reserve, as Dr. Spencer says, an extra reserve. Let us find that this week and take this on. It's an important week. No matter where you are in the coaching process, no matter how many times you may have heard this, this could be your week. Because this is a pivotal, critical shift to choose to be present in the now. And a power session is just a way to help you measure this so that you can have a sense of accomplishment at the end of each day and journal. I'll be excited to hear about your miracles. When you have one, send me an email, dave@augmandino.com. Dave, D-A-V-E, at augmandino.com. Tell me what happened. I'd love to hear. It's so exciting. I got an email just before I came up here from somebody I met years ago. He bought the book. It's been sitting on his floor next to his bed until yesterday. He said, I started reading, and I'm amazed at how you are speaking directly to me. I feel as though you could have started the book with Dear, and he mentions his name. I'm only on page 33 and have been brought to tears more than once. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for following the Spirit, those little whispers, and pursuing your destiny. Because of my brief and subtle association with you in person, otherwise, has blessed my life. This came in at 6:11 tonight, right in between our two calls. It's just tender. He just went on and on and on about what he's learned by studying these principles over all these years. And now he's reading the book, and it's so exciting. I just love to hear from you. When you're having these success stories, if you've got a serious challenge, let me know about those. I'll do what I can to show up for you. But this is such a powerful piece. Let's make the decision this week to take it on. Now, next week we're going to take on all the noise, all those thought processes that want to keep us from doing this. Promise you'll have them. I will start quieting some of those systemic thoughts, understand them better so that we can start to weed those out. Then we'll go into finding joy in this journey. It's not a destination, it's a journey. And then healing self-esteem. Well, thanks everyone. It's been a joy to be with you tonight. Wish you the very best in all that you do this week. May this be the very best week of your life. May this be a pivotal moment. I can tell you unashamedly that every night and every morning when Ramon and I kneel down to pray, we send prayer to heaven that you'll have the courage to take this on, because we know the joy that you'll experience when you do. So if I can say boldly, my prayer is that you will. Put away that resistance and resentment and the anger and the frustration. Maybe you're still mad at dad or mom or somebody that did something to you or hurt you. This week's the week to get back in the present, mind and body. Get back into creation. So we not let one drop spill upon the sand. May we do so. May we have a great week doing it. Thanks, everyone. Now we share our love with you. Have a great Memorial Day for those of you in the United States and Canada. You had a great holiday yesterday with the Queen's birthday. Let us have a wonderful spring as summer is upon us. What a great time of year. And we'll be back with you next Tuesday night. Thanks, everyone, and good night.